Don't move, just leave your dial on the computer's monitor. Lean back and stay a while on the computer's monitor.
Monitor it is, and I hope you'll let us move your weekend along wherever you are. I'm Bob Maurer, sitting in for Ed McMahon. We'll have a special sports report, music, and in just 2 minutes, actor George Maharis talks about what's happening, baby, what's happening among today's rebellious youngsters, the world of the hippies, right now the world of Petula Clark. Happening is the title of a brand new film which has to do with violence and rebellion among today's young people. One of the stars of the film is George Maharis. The subject of violence and rebellion interests him personally, and he talked with Monitor's Rick Lazar in Palm Springs.
George, I want to tell you that I just saw The Happening is Happening, and you are happening in this motion picture. You are fantastic.
It's a good picture, yeah.
What do you think of the young people today? I heard you just got back from San Francisco. What happened there?
Oh, that's a real hippie town, I'll tell you. It's what's going on over there is I don't know how to explain it. It's just something that's happening that's I've never experienced before. It's a whole new breakthrough. I guess in a sense it's going on in England too, but it's a generation of people that are going to set their own rules and their own regulations, and they're not about to be told what it's going to be by anybody else. And once they find out what they think they want to do, they're going to live by it.
You think that our stars today, like yourself, have any influence on the kids of today?
Gee, I don't know. I hate to answer a question like that because, you see, I'm on the other side. If I was on the side looking at the stars, I'd be able to answer that question. But since I'm behind the camera, it's very difficult for me to be the audience.
Listen, what direction are the kids headed for? What do you think? Give me a personal opinion. You were in San Francisco. You saw them. What are they headed for?
I can't tell. It's one of those things you can't tell where they're heading. It's one of those things that I don't think they know where they're heading. It's one of those things that they are finding. I think every generation, in a sense, has done that. I wasn't alive in the roaring 20s, but when I see flicks about it, what were they doing?
Yeah.
What were they doing in Prohibition? What were the Wobblies doing? What were all those people doing? Nobody knew where they were going. It was something that happened, and when it happened, and it finally took root, and they found the foundation of it, they built on it.
George, what was your childhood like?
My childhood?
Yeah, about the age that you're playing the part of the kid there?
I came from a family which had seven children, and my father lost his business when I was before I was five, and it became a very difficult struggle just to keep alive, in a sense. Of course, in those days, you don't realize it's a struggle. You just get up in the morning and you say, what do I eat today?
What location did this happen at?
In New York City, Manhattan.
Was the experience good for you?
No, well, I didn't like it at the time it was happening, but now it's what I am. I can't go back.
What did you do during the time of your childhood?
I fought. I didn't smile until I was about 21.
And then when did this all start, the stardom type bit? When did that happen?
Well, I don't know. I just decided one day I wanted to do something I thought I could be proud of, you know, something that I wanted to do, and I was working at many jobs, and I had a lot of arguments with myself, which I always have. And I quit one job, and I went to another, and I quit another job, and I went to another, and I finally sat down and said, you know, you're a bum. I said, no, I'm not a bum. I said, well, of course you're a bum. You can't hold a job. I said, that's not the kind of job I want to do. I said, well, what do you want to do? I said, I want to sing. And go out and sing. I said, all right, I will. So I did. And then I got along to a point where a musical manager saw me and said, you belong on a Broadway stage. And he sent me to a teacher who he felt would increase my range. And the teacher said, you're a dramatic tenor. And I said, no, I'm a lyric baritone. He said, no, you're a dramatic tenor. So in the process of him making me a dramatic tenor, he ruptured my vocal cords. And that's how I got into acting.
Tell me, George, now, I want an honest opinion. When all the fellas on TV, they begin to sing, do you think it's right? I mean, you have a voice. Your albums have proved this because they sell. But how about the average man that's making a television show and all of a sudden they say, I'll make a record and sing?
Well, you know, that's for them to decide. I can't pass judgment on them, you know. There are lots of things that I don't like that other people like, and you just never know where it's going to end. I mean, it's like saying, who was that fellow that was a gangster for years in pictures who started as a singer? Dick Powell. Now, if somebody had told you that he was going into, dramatic acting, they would have said, what do these singers want to act for? Right. So it's, you know, it's one of those things that you just never know where it's coming out of. And you got to wait and see. And if you believe it yourself, then you have to go. I know as an actor, when I started, people said to me, forget it. And I knew that I would do something, but I wasn't showing them what I could do. That's why they didn't see it. So maybe it doesn't happen today, but if you keep going, it happens if you believe it.
George, you don't have to worry about it today, because today you're king.
Oh, thanks, man.
Thank you, George.
Okay.
This is Monitor in Hollywood. Our guest has been George Maharis.
And from Palm Springs, let's go to the south side of Chicago with Vic Damone.
Fancy girls out working, honky-tonks ablaze. These were a part of the good old days, when I used to swing on the south side of Chicago. Twenty-first and Wentworth was its beating heart, the place where action first got its start. Jazz was king on the south side of Chicago. I still can hear those silver trumpets blowing. In little places filled with people glowing. Oh, New Orleans was groovy, Memphis light and gay. And who could put down New York's Broadway? But there was everything on the south side of Chicago.
Mrs. Baker?
That's me, honey. Same as the name on the door.
I'm doing a survey for International Harvester. Mr. Baker owns a Cub Cadet tractor?
Yes, lovely little machine. Built for keeps, you know. Just like the big IH tractor.
Right, and which model do you have?
The big husky one, doll. The Tiger.
I see. 12 horsepower. That's a gear drive or hydrostatic transmission?
Honey, do I look like a mechanic to you?
No. No, you certainly don't. Tell me, now that the cadet zips through all the yard work around here, how does your husband spend his extra free time? What's his hobby?
Well, would you believe he spends a lot of time on the golf course?
You'll have more time for your hobbies with a Cub Cadet tractor. 7, 10, and 12 horsepower with either gear drive or hydrostatic transmission. For your nearest Cadet dealer, phone Western Union. Ask for operator 25. And at 18 minutes after the hour, you're on the Monitor Beacon.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which
it seems more necessary than ever these days to do something to give those wonderful words real meaning. If you've already been in the service, you've already done something special for your country. You probably feel you've done quite enough. Yes, you've done your part. But can anyone really do enough for America? During times like these, the Air Force Reserve needs pilots, navigators, and panel engineers. The Reserve is also your chance for extra pay and retirement benefits, a chance for travel, and a chance to get in some extra experience and a desired skill. Prior servicemen have already done plenty for America, but they also know they can never really do enough. If you're willing to give a small part of your spare time to your country, take the Air Force oath, join the Reserve, make sure that everyone will be able to keep a promise to God and to country. For further information, contact the nearest Air Force Reserve unit or the Reserve Affairs Officer at the nearest Air Force base.
WNBC New York, the big voice of Big Town USA, is the sound of living.
Monitor for this first day of April. I'm Bob Maurer, sitting in for Ed McMahon. 2 minutes away, an interview with the world's strongest man.
If you can truthfully say
Anita Kerr Singers, One in a Row. In a moment, the world's strongest man. Monitor Sports, brought to you by State Farm Mutual, the world's largest car insurance company.
Hi, fun seekers. I'm Jackie Vernon. And now on with the fun. It's recitation time once again. Little boy blue, come blow your horn. Your headlights in the meadow, your wheels in the corn. Don't you wish you'd insure that car with State Farm Mutual, the world's largest car insurance company? There are more than 12,000 State Farm agents and claim representatives all over the country. One of them could be giving you fast, friendly service right now. You could have had big State Farm protection, big State Farm service, low State Farm rates, just like the drivers of more than 9 million cars. But you blew it, boy blue. You blew your chance to get the world's best car insurance value. Go ahead, boy blue. Go blow your horn. I think I see over there by your gas tank.
They called him the Dixie Derrick, the world's strongest man. when Georgia-born Paul Anderson was representing the United States in international weightlifting competition. A mountain of a man, he set numerous world records, won a gold medal in the Melbourne Olympics. Today, Anderson operates a youth home for 30 boys in Vidalia, Georgia, but still finds time to travel around the nation lecturing. A report from Monitor's John Drummond in Des Moines, Iowa.
Paul Anderson, it's been 11 years since you won a gold medal at the Olympic Games in Melbourne, Australia, 1956. Have you been doing any lifting in recent years? We haven't heard much about you.
Quite a bit. Of course, I have not been in competition because of my youth work. I do mostly speaking engagements and include my weightlifting along with it. I toured Europe a couple of times last year, which I'm going to do this year, and did quite a lot of heavy lifting because they're so interested in lifting over there. I still try. I don't know why, John. I guess it's my ego to continue to lift more than anyone else in the world, and so I train quite a bit.
How tall are you, Paul? About 5'6"?
About 5'9", I guess, something like that.
And you weigh in right now at what?
About 375.
Paul, you tried professional wrestling for a short time in the late 1950s. Do you believe a wrestler can beat a good boxer in a mixed match?
Well, it's very hard to say. It depends on the boxer and the wrestler. Of course, my wrestling was just on a charity basis because of my popularity. But a good wrestler, a good boxer, when they made personal contact, that is physical contact like a clinch, why the wrestler would take the boxer down, and the boxer would be to a great disadvantage at that time, naturally.
Paul, you're billed as the world's strongest man. Would you be willing to meet Cassius Clay in a mixed match?
Well, that's hard to say and something that would never come about, I'm sure. But, of course, it depends on the circumstances and where the money would go. If it was going to something worthwhile, of course I would. And having lifted over 6,000 pounds at one time, I think I could defend myself.
I'll buy that. Paul, Anderson, some of the top lifters have never run any of the major bodybuilding contests like Mr. America, Mr. Universe, and others. Does this mean that physique contest winners aren't good lifters?
Well, it's just two different sports altogether. The only relationship they have is the fact that the bodybuilder uses the weights to build up his muscles, and he tries to burn all the fat from around the muscle tissue and such and define the muscle. And, of course, the lifter himself tries just to get stronger and to build the larger muscle groups to handle the heavy poundage. So occasionally we've had lifters who did the bodybuilding also, but very seldom.
Paul, do you feel that weightlifting has gained in popularity in recent years in this country?
Well, it really has because, of course, all of our major colleges and our high schools advocate weightlifting for their athletes to enhance their athletic ability today, so we have more fellows lifting weights.
What advice can you give a youngster just starting in weightlifting?
Well, of course, first he needs to decide that he wants to train with weights, first starting out slowly, toning the muscles, and then later on handling the heavier poundages, but always completing your exercises.
Thank you, weightlifter Paul Anderson. This is John Drummond in Des Moines, Iowa, reporting for Monitor Sports.
And now a word about RCA Victor.
Fun! Hey, 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 it's a swinging season, and RCA Victor gives you good reason to get smart new buys and swinging stereos, radios, tape recorders, and TV.
The swinging season is here with the first portable color TV from RCA Victor. New radios, swing line portable stereos, and new tape recorders, too.
RCA!
Enjoy the swinging season. See your RCA Victor dealer now.
For more sports news and features, stay tuned to Monitor throughout the weekend. And now, a message meant for you. Are you high-spirited? Now there is an exciting drink to match your champagne mood. Sparkling Champale. Champale. Like nothing else you've ever tasted except champagne. Champale puts more sparkle in any get-together. Buy Sparkling Champale wherever beer is sold. Costs just pennies more. Sparkling Champale Malt Liquor. Metropolis Brewery, Trenton, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Peter Nero at the piano with Amy's theme. Monitor with you every weekend. This weekend in Columbia, South Carolina, the annual Spring Festival is underway, a week-long program of highly entertaining events. And our friends in Columbia listen to Monitor on WIS. And now it's time for all of our stations to identify themselves. Back with you shortly. This is Bob Maurer.
At home or on the road, stay with Monitor on the NBC Radio Network.
Valentine's got the flavor that says, hey friend, do it again, Valentine beer. Hey friend, do it again, Valentine beer. Good to start with Valentine, good to stay with Valentine. The flavor's great at the free ring sign. Valentine's got the flavor that says, hey friend, do it again, Valentine, Valentine beer. Flavor that says, hey friend, do it again, Valentine, Valentine beer.
Budget-minded people spend time on Lee Leonard, weekday and Saturday afternoons at 1 on the Big Voice of Big Town USA, WNBC, New York.
Free, played by the Brass Ring. Gunther Kallman now with his version of the same song.
Live free.
April Fool, this is Bob Maurer sitting in for Ed McMahon, and you are tuned to Monitor. Coming up this half hour, Arlene Francis with an extra special guest, her husband, actor Martin Gable. And since it's April Fool's Day, let's begin with something stupid.
I know I stand in line until you think you have the time to spend an evening with me. And if we go someplace to dance, I know that there's a chance you won't be leaving with me. Then afterwards we drop into a quiet little place and have a drink or two. And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like I love you. I can see it in your eyes that you despise the same old lies you heard the night before. And though it's just a line to you, for me it's true and never seemed so right before. I practiced every day to find some clever lines to say to make the meaning come true. But then I think I'll wait until the evening gets late and I'm alone with you. The time is right, your perfume fills my head, the stars get red and oh, the night's so blue. And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like I love you. Time is right, your perfume fills my head, the stars get red and oh, the night's so blue. And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like I love you. I love you.
Two generations of Sinatras providing the music. Next on Monitor, Arlene Francis, brought to you by O'Brien Paint. Be sure the paint you're buying is O'Brien. And in just a moment, we view a celebrity home with Arlene Francis and her guest, her husband, Martin Gable. But first, here's Arlene with a message from O'Brien.
The O'Brien Corporation has taken a new look at paint color charts, and they've taken that look from your point of view. The result is infinitely more useful and interesting than the usual color charts. O'Brien would like you to take a look, too. I'll tell you how in just a moment. O'Brien has carefully selected 72 of the most popular, most interesting of its 1,100 and symphonic colors and arranged them in 9 harmonious families. Everything from rich, luscious, deep tones to a whole range of delicate pastels. You'll also find many decorating hints to help you make the best use of color in your home. For your copy of O'Brien's new sampler of color swatches and decorating hints, write Color Sampler, The O'Brien Corporation, South Bend, Indiana, 46621. Please include your name and address, plus 10 cents to cover postage and handling. Send them to Color Sampler, The O'Brien Corporation, South Bend, Indiana, 46621. Martin Gable, dear sir, will you describe for our audience the room that you enjoy most in your home?
The room I enjoy most, if you won't mind my saying so, is my own bed-sitting room. It's a small room, rectangular. It has only 4 or 5 pieces of furniture in it and is dominated by the accumulation of a lifetime of books. And I know that you feel the books are dust catchers and would dearly love to get rid of many of them. The furniture is a polyglot assemblage of a Louis XV desk that we picked up once when feeling flush, a Louis XV chair behind the desk, quite handsome, an old French provincial dresser, which is a marvelous piece of furniture, and when it's polished, it gleams, and the bed that we had made some years back, big enough for one and a half. Carpet is red and the walls are white. The thing I like about the room is that the furniture is perfectly suited to its function. That is my work I do at the desk and the large, commodious dresser and so on. But also it has a sense of tradition. And that's what I think any really attractive room ought to have.
Martin, is there anything you don't like about the apartment that you live in?
Well, only the fact that you don't give enough importance to reading lamps.
Do you suggest that it is something that should be looked into when you are decorating an apartment? That one should consider, first of all, the places that one sits and reads or does one's work?
No, I think all function has to be considered. The ideal, as the philosophers say, is an identity of function and beauty. That's what you have to go for. You must have one and the other.
Thank you very much, Martin. It's nice to have these little sidelights on your life. This is Martin Gabel I've been talking to, a man I've had the pleasure of knowing for some time. And this is Arlene Francis for Monitor. Now this for O'Brien Paint.
When it's paint you plan on buying, see the man who sells O'Brien. He can answer any questions you may have. He'll explain just how to use the O'Brien paint you choose for quality, top quality.
Be sure you see the man who sells O'Brien.
One more time.
Be sure the paint you're buying is O'Brien.
Arlene Francis is heard throughout every weekend on Monitor.
To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow that star, no matter how hopeless, question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. To dream impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go.
Steve Lawrence and his exciting interpretation of The Impossible Dream. It's 14 minutes before the hour. Coming up, a report on President Johnson's views on the Vietnam War as a political issue. 5 minutes away here on the Monitor Beacon.
We believe that we have the best heat of any house in the area. We are using gas heat exclusively.
Which home heating system do builders prefer? Listen to Bill Egan, builder of Sinbeck Homes here in North Belmore, Long Island.
The fact that it's much, much cleaner than the old types of fuel were, we make the house a lot easier for the woman to clean. She can have a lot more time to herself, and she doesn't have to worry if some neighbor comes in or if some friend comes in. It's going to really look ship-shape all the time. This is a real quality home, and we certainly weren't going to put any old-fashioned type of heat into it. We want the most modern and up-to-date thing. Why, it'd be like putting an old engine in a brand-new car to put any other kind of heat into this house. So when you put your key in the door and you walk in, everything is there. Your electric is there, your water is there, and your gas is there. We want something.
This interview was brought to you by the Long Island Lighting Company.
The gas heat. With gas heat, you don't have problems. Another thing about gas heat...
WNBC New York, the big voice of Big Town USA, is the sound of entertainment.
Monitor 67, your host, Bob Maurer. Wherever you are, at home, in your car, or wherever, we're happy you're spending some time with us. April Fool's Day is the day for practical jokes and pranks. Last week, a young man in Rockland County, New York, paid a $150 fine for driving without a license. He paid his fine, left the courthouse, stepped into his car, and drove away, and you guessed it, he was picked up a few minutes later on the very same charge. Not so practical. Nelson Riddle now with foot stomping music.
Everything today is thoroughly modern.
Check your personality.
Everything today makes yesterday slow.
Monitors ring around the world. A close-up of people and events both home and abroad, brought to you by RCA. President Johnson's appraisal of the effect of the Vietnam War on the 1968 presidential election. More on that in a minute from Ray Shearer, NBC White House correspondent.
The swinging season is here, and so is the first portable color TV from RCA Victor. New radios, too. Table models, clocks, and portables. Perfect for gift-giving. See the new solid-state swing-line portable stereo. Speakers swing out, turntable swings down. Or Make your own swinging sounds on a new RCA Victor tape recorder.
You have a happy swinging season with the smart device that a tiny season from RCA.
Enjoy the swinging season. See your RCA Victor dealer now.
Now, Ray Shearer, NBC White House correspondent.
What if the war in Vietnam is still going on next year when Lyndon Johnson is running for re-election as president? How will he handle the situation? The answer to this might be, it depends. It depends, for one thing, on whether Mr. Johnson does run. He hasn't said that he will, but most people think so. It also depends on the nature of the campaign run by his Republican opponent. Assuming for the moment the war will not be over, the president, speaking to Democratic state chairman and vice chairman Thursday night in a Washington hotel room, gave a preview of how he will handle the Vietnam War issue. The president told the Democrats, every American wants peace. Every American is concerned about the war in Vietnam. In the months to come, he said, every American must realize why we have taken on the obligation of freedom in Vietnam, not only for ourselves, our children, and our grandchildren, but for hundreds of billions throughout the world who prefer the possibility of democracy to the certainty of totalitarianism. The president called our obligations in Vietnam obligations to the future. He went on to say, I have not viewed the war as a political matter. I never will. He said he believed there is a basic understanding regarding Vietnam shared by Republicans as well as Democrats, hawks as well as doves, Easterners as well as Westerners. Then the president got to the point. He advised his fellow Democrats to be ready next year if Vietnam is brought up as an issue. Quoting now, the president said, let us ask any of those who challenge us how they would pursue this engagement with terror, by gambling with a total worldwide war, or by running from their responsibilities, or permitting our adversaries to descend unimpeded on the men who fight for us in the hills and jungles and rice paddies, or instead by pursuing a policy that will stop the aggressor in the South, increase his costs in the North, and bring him ultimately to the bargaining table. The president counseled the Democratic chieftains, as you go back to your people, take with you a record you can be proud of. For my part, he said, I have no fear of the outcome. In sum, it would appear that Mr. Johnson will look upon the war next year as a plus for Democrats, not as a minus. He will handle the war much as he did in the early part of the 1966 campaign, call upon the people to support their president. Ray Shearer, NBC White House correspondent.
Ring Around the World, another in our series of close-ups of people and events both home and abroad. Now, a message meant for you. There's an exciting drink that's making the scene these days. It's sparkling champagne, C-H-A-M-P-A-L-E. Champagne is like nothing else you've ever tasted, except champagne. Same look, same taste, same sparkle. Serve it just as you would champagne. Buy sparkling champagne wherever beer is sold. Costs just pennies more. Sparkling champagne malt liquor. Metropolis Brewery, Trenton, New Jersey. Next on Monitor, Andy Williams sings.
Just think of things like daffodils and peaceful sheep on clover hills, the morning song of whippoorwills, and you'll see the face that I love. Think of any old sky getting ready to cry. Down comes the rain, but it's raining confetti. And think of things like far-off isles, to blue-green eyes and sunlit smiles, and in your hand a wishing star, the one you thought too far above. Every lovely view introduces you to the face I love. Introduce
You're traveling through the weekend world with Springtime Monitor. Don Costa and his brand new release, Ilya Darling. Monitor News in the Hour just ahead. This is Bob Maurer for Monitor 67.
See to the latest news now. It's on the air. Keep tuned for sports and views now from everywhere. Don Henley.
Do you know what 5.5 million people are going to be doing this Sunday? Sunday, they're going to get an inside tour of Broadway. Sunday, they're going to see how the Yanks and the Mets are doing in spring training. Sunday, they'll cheer when they see how 50,000 housewives chase the hoods to the hills in their drive to clean up crime. Sunday, they're going to get a briefing on what's going on in the world from experts. Sunday, they'll get the complete background of the bizarre Coppolino case, which goes to trial on Monday. Sunday, they're going to find out about the biggest bargains in town. Sunday, they'll go back in time to 1917 when America, a gay, frivolous youngster, went to war and came back wearing long pants. Sunday, they're going to a fashion show in color and dive into a world of colorful characters. Sunday, they're going to do all of these things for just 20 cents. How? By getting America's most popular newspaper, the New York Sunday News.
You're in the winner's circle when you join Big Wilson at the starting gate. Mornings from 5 to 9 on the Big Voice of Big Town USA. WNBC, New York.
4 o'clock.
NBC Monitor News on the Hour, brought to you by the entire family of WINS products that keep your car going strong. And now here's George Skinner.